We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it is living and active in the only infallible way of faith and practice. It is uniquely and fully inspired by God's Holy Spirit. So we need to believe it. We need to know what it says. Hear God's word as it comes to us out of the 116th Psalm. I'm going to be reading to you out of the English Standard Version. I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord perseveres the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. And I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, O God, that you would minister to us as we wait around your word, your truth. Help us to know what it means, Lord. May your Holy Spirit move among us and interpret your truth. We pray, Lord, that you would grow us in our faith and faithfulness. That you would transform us just a little bit more, Lord, into the image in which we were created, into the image of Jesus. Move us, Lord. Help us to become more like you. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the day of Thanksgiving could be described, I guess, as a secular holiday with some heavenly promptings. You know, it's not a heavenly day, particularly. It's not a Christmas, it's not an Easter, but it's a good day, and it is heavenly focused. From the probable roots of ancient pagan festivals for the harvest, where there were all kinds of different gods, where they were thanked in ritual and offering for their blessings, to the pilgrims who gathered after that first year in the new land, offering their humble thanks to God for their survival, let alone their bounty, to today, where Thanksgiving has largely come to represent a time set aside to celebrate the beginning of the Christmas shopping season, what we call the holiday season, although that season is slipping earlier and earlier and earlier. Thanksgiving may soon be right in the middle of it. What Thanksgiving has always been and always had in common is the merging of the material world with the divine. There's always been that sort of worship, whether it was directed toward the one true God or all the other little demigods all around. It's always been a vertical acknowledgement as well as a horizontal party. And inasmuch as thanksgiving turns our hearts to God, even when the focus is often more on the party, I think it's good. I think it's good. And it's worth celebrating. The Bible, of course, is filled with all sorts of examples of admonitions to give thanks, to give appreciation to the one true God who, for who He is and what He has done and what He is doing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul teaches us, give thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Thanksgiving is important. It's a big deal with our God. But some of the best insight as to how we should give thanks comes from the Old Testament, not the New, particularly from the Psalms, which are by definition of songs of praise and some songs of thanksgiving to God. And while the words reflect the attitude of the heart, giving thanks and praise has always been more than just an attitude. It's always been something that we do. It's an action. It's a practice, not just a word. In the Old Testament, much of the activity of thanksgiving became centered around the sacrificial offerings. The offering of bulls and goats and grain and wine made to God, sometimes as an expression of the heart, but most often as the fulfillment of an obligation, as something that they were supposed to do. As if the sacrificial system of the Old Testament was established for God and not for us. These were indeed God-directed, and they were important offerings. But they were given to move those early Israelites to the true gift that God desired, to move us beyond obligation and ritual to genuine, heartfelt thanksgiving. The writer of the Proverbs declared in Proverbs 21, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Or as Samuel said to King Saul, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrificings as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. Or as David said in Psalm 40, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, talking to God. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not require. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Or in Psalm 50, where God proclaims, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. There is the dilemma. It's obvious that God doesn't want just a meaningless ritual. But it's also just as obvious that God is glorified through our offerings, through our ritual, through our sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let's focus just a minute on that word sacrifice. What is a sacrifice of thanksgiving? What is it in Scripture? What does sacrifice really mean? We can look it up in a regular dictionary, and it's an offering or a surrendering or a giving of something for the benefit of someone else. That means a sacrifice of thanksgiving would be an offering, a giving of something to someone in gratitude and praise. And in this case, it's a thanksgiving to God in gratitude and in praise. But what is the something we are to offer as thanksgiving to God? Is it material possessions? Is it money? Is it our job, our family? Is it a great meal? You know, our turkey feast? Psalm 116, I think, helps solve that dilemma. It helps us to understand the what of this something of thanksgiving. The psalmist pours out his heart. That's the reason I read the whole passage. He pours out his heart over the incredible goodness and blessing he has received from God. And then he asks the question. He asks the question in verse 16, "What shall I render to the Lord for His benefits to me?" That's the something. The NIV says, "How can I repay the Lord?" As if that was even possible. It's a great question. What can we give to God that He really wants? What sacrifice does He really desire? What would be a blessing to Him? How can we possibly repay God for His goodness and His grace? Certainly we know it's not possible to do it in kind. We don't have that ability. Oh, far short. We can't outgive God. We can't match His gifts to us. So how does the psalmist answer his own question? How does he respond? What is the something that you and I are to offer to God? Well, he uses some difficult phrases, so listen carefully. He says, first, "I will lift up the cup of salvation." Think about what the psalmist said in the first half of the psalm. He's already lifted up, hasn't he? He spelled out numerous ways that God saved him, that rescued him from the brink of death, from the effects of hell, distress, anguish. He declared that God has dealt bountifully with him, with his soul. This is his experience and relationship he's had with God. It was a good one. And that's the cup of salvation he lifts up. He lifts up his own experience, his own relational experience with God. Think about that. Think about that in terms of ourselves. What is our experience with God? From what has He saved us? From what has He saved you? Not how many material things we have. Not how blessed we are with families and friends. But how has God blessed your soul? The Hebrew language often uses repeating statements or closely repeating phrases to clarify or enhance a meaning. And the psalmist does that here. The phrase in verse 13, "I will lift up the cup of salvation," is coupled and paired with verse 17, "I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving." And the connector, the common phrase in both verses, "and call upon the name of the Lord." And what that means is lifting up the cup of salvation should be understood as the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And both find their common meaning in the phrase, "call upon the name of the Lord." That is your open acknowledgement of the power and the presence of God in your life. It's a profession of faith, if you would. It's a declaration of your reliance upon Him and of His faithfulness to you. It's a testimony of His reality in your life. You see, thanksgiving isn't about things. It's about our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with God. It isn't about how big the harvest was or how much the Lord has material blessed you, how big the turkey is on Thanksgiving. It's about how He saved you and me, how He's rescued us, and how He's blessed us way beyond what we deserve and usually way beyond what we can imagine. It's about eternity. It's about our soul. It's about being freed from the bonds of sin and death. That's the result of calling upon the name of the Lord. Just as in other scriptures, the prophet Joel and Peter and Paul would all affirm, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Great word, great truth. The psalmist experienced the very same truth in his life as he lifted up his cup of salvation. One thing more I want us to see as we consider what our sacrifice of thanksgiving should be. And that's the other repeating phrase in these pairings, where he says, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Verse 14, and then look at verse 18. Understood in the light of verse 12, this verse, emphasized by its repetition, says that the rendering or the repaying, what will I repay to the Lord? What will I render to the Lord? It's not shared behind closed doors. It's an open sharing. It's done for all the world to see, like a witness. Like the light that Jesus said that you put on the hill, not under a bushel. On the hill so that all can see in the presence of all his people, the psalmist says. Thanksgiving is from our heart to God. And from our lips and hands for the world to see. It's something you do. It's that action. Because of something God has already done. Our joy today and every day is to praise and thank our Lord, our God, for his bounty, his love, his mercy, his grace. It's to be able to bow ourselves before him as grateful, obedient children. It's to be able to show what he has done in and through us to a needy and hurting world. Such is the sign of his presence within us. And such is the love offering, the sacrifice that he desires. Paul said in Romans 12:1, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He then goes on to list all sorts of ways that we live out that sacrifice. Loving, encouraging, giving, understanding, serving. Many of them listed right there in Romans chapter 12. You know, when some years ago Irma Bombeck was facing her own battle with cancer, her own mortality, she met a little girl by the name of Christina, who had cancer of her nervous system. When Christina was asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought about it for a little while and she shrugged. She says, I don't know. I already have two sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. It's back when Cabbage Patch dolls were the thing. And then she looked at Irma and she said, I already have everything. Irma, who later lost her own battle with cancer, said, when I forget to feel grateful, I hear Christina saying, I already have everything. If we, you and I, have Jesus, in reality, we already have everything. Everything. So let's lift our hearts and make our sacrifice of thanksgiving by giving God his praise and giving God his glory, by praising him for all of life, big, little, rich, poor, material, and most of all, spiritual. But also by standing boldly and bearing witness to that relationship of love that transcends every need, every pain, every question, and brings us into hope and peace and joy, his very presence. And finally, by so living and speaking, that the world around us will see Jesus. You and I are going to have, most likely, lots of opportunities this holiday to pay our vows to the Lord, to be a sacrifice of thanksgiving, to share that hope that is within us, lifting up for all to see our cup of salvation. What has God done in our life? Who is Jesus? That is our sacrifice. It's my prayer for you, and it's my prayer for me, that we will render unto the Lord and share His truth with family and friends and all who God brings across our path. The psalmist closes this psalm with three beautiful words. You can see them. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together.